We're back on my favorite show I get to do, you know, because when I'm not doing the news cycle, it's like, Lord, I, what am I called to do again? Oh, yeah, that's right. I have a divine assignment. That's right. And maybe it isn't just being a news guy. Maybe it's fulfilling the destiny based on the identity you gave me. And that's today's broadcast. We have with us the ever powerful and poignant Lance and Carl Wolnow team with the level 10 material. We're working against my son, Carl. And then there's Mercedes Sparks.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Did you mean to say your name too? Or did you think Lance Jr. was over there as well?
No, but I have a son named Lance. It gets confusing. I got my dad.
Confusing.
It's terrible, really. It's a terrible psychological. My dad used to say Carl Lank. I had two brothers, Carl and Kurt. And whenever he was yelling at any one of us, it was Carl Lank, Kurt. We actually had a boat. We finally named Carl Anchor because we all our names got yelled at the same time. So when I'm raising my voice with one of my boys, it's like Carl. It's Carl.
You could also tell the level of frustration with my dad whenever Kurt's name came up in the house.
Oh my God!
He's just like, he doesn't even live here.
I know, it's my brother, Kurt. Yeah.
Anyway. It happens all the time. I'll call Liberty like different names. You'll call Liberty like Mercedes. I yell at her.
That's right. I do yell at Liberty and call her Mercedes. It's just like, what does that mean? I don't know. It's your daughter. But
what does that mean?
But here's where we are. I wanted to bring you guys up to date on this. Today's show, we're going to be looking at the very powerful I Am statement. We're going to close off with the statement the Apostle Paul was given by Jesus. It's an I Am statement, just like we're doing with people in the studio, just like we want you to do at home. You can read about it in Acts 26. Jesus gives Paul the I Am statement for who he is, who he's called to reach, what he can expect to happen, and how he's going to glorify God. This is a very powerful segment. But right now, the hard part is really developing all the colors on the painter's palette so that you can get a full picture as to who you are and then draw out of it the specific words for this season that describe who you are, who you're called to reach, and what you're called to do. Because that target can move. It's always in the same continuum, but it does move in terms of who that target audience is because you're going from glory to glory and God has different harvests in different seasons. So Mercedes, I guess you can make the request and we'll start with you. Oh, by the way, if you're interested in getting this, it's Level 10 Living. Make sure you go to level10living.com. You can read along with us. You can study with us. Use the podcast code podcast, and you get 20% off. Let me just throw that in there now, because people are writing to us during the broadcast. Where is this? Where is this? It's from level10living.com. Use the podcast code, get 20% off, and we'll ship it to you right away. Okay, Mercedes.
I'd like one. Can we do one for me? I'd take feedback. I haven't put one together yet. I don't really know.
You had one assignment before this gig.
I was taking notes on how to put it together. Did you not hear me asking? I was like, all right, then. So
what do we do after that?
Yeah. How would I narrow this down? I have so many gifts and talents. How would I pick two?
I'm humble. I am not arrogant. Or what
and
is it?
I am caring. Humble. Yeah. This is the last one.
After a 30-minute diatribe.
And the constraint I'm working on is self-awareness.
This isn't all about me right now? Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, hit us with it, Mercedes. What you got?
No, I don't have anything. I was going to ask my friends. I was going to say, hey, what do you think my two, like, what would you put?
I think you're pretty good at fishing for compliments. No, I'm just kidding.
Uh-huh, yeah. And Jonathan, you can get on this too.
No, I think it's a legitimate there. Question. So let's go ahead and do that. And I'd say that you, one of the strengths that you've got, and then we'll worry about giving a specific word for it later, but one of the strengths you've got is that you could take in a great deal of information and be able to discern what the strategic next step is to clarify what somebody wants to do in order to fulfill their dream or their destiny. You also have a great sense of accurately, prophetically appraising people's talents and abilities. And when I've seen you do that, I pause because I watch when gifts are working in different ways. And so I've seen you in these two ways to be able to accurately assess and dialogue with someone about what it is they do best and discern accurately what their strengths are So you get prophetic insight into other people's real strengths and aptitude so that they can align with their highest and best calling, and that you discern strategically the best route for them to be able to manifest what God has put in their heart to do. The ability to read people and assess their gifts, and the ability to discern a plan and sense whether it will work or won't work and come up with a better one that can get them where they want to go, are two real powerful gifts that, if we were using internal language, I'd say you're a supernatural pathfinder. Okay. And that supernatural pathfinders, that's why I say this language is for you personally. And when you say it, I am a supernatural pathfinder, you know it means I could talk to someone that God sends me to and analyze exactly what their strengths and gifts are, and I could see what they need to do in order to align with their destiny. And that's a supernatural. So that right there, the term supernatural pathfinder gives you a chunk for just one attribute.
I like that.
The other attribute could be, you know, charismatic, because you engage the audience, or you engage the conversation, or you engage the media or the meeting in such a way that you're not ignored, you're not overlooked, but you're positively engaging with the environment in a way that attracts inquiry and interest, as opposed to, we've talked about people that are just arrogant and rude, like indominant, and many great leaders are just plain jerks. And you've seen them too in meetings. But that idea that you could be a charismatic supernatural pathfinder that enables peoples and organizations to accomplish what God has called them to do in the most strategic way. Mm. Boom.
Boom. See, I figure I got to ask while the asking's good, right? So anyways, that's very helpful. Any feedback from you? Or you think that was a good summary?
I think you're exceptionally great at delegating. Like with this assignment, like you just had him do it for you. That's expertise level.
Man, I got to get the expert to do it while I'm sitting here. You know, some would call that shrewdness.
Yeah, some people would. Some people would.
Yeah, shrewd.
I'm one of them. That's pretty shrewd.
Lance is so good at this, though. I mean, if you've ever seen Lance process people on a stage,
it's impressive.
It is. I know. Like when he does couples or he brings people up there, I was like, I'm not missing this opportunity. Lance, what would you say? Supernatural pathfinder, you say. Oh, yeah. Like, I would never be able to come up with that.
I mean, you supernaturally found a path to get this job.
But you know what a path, and what's interesting is, well, here's a little geek insight. Do you guys know at home what a pathfinder is in history? If you look it up, it's a powerful word. When in World War II, when you had to land planes and you didn't have natural runways, but they had to identify where there were fields they could land on, or where you had to drop off supplies, what teams would do, they would go down and find the level path, and they would mark it with torches.
Flares, yeah.
So that they created, out of the wilderness where people couldn't see anything, a trajectory to land what they had. And so a pathfinder in war is someone who can literally create the landing strip for someone to be able to do what they're gifted to do.
Mm, I like that a lot. Hey, we do Carl too.
Well, okay. And since you're here, you started off.
Oh.
No pressure, no diamonds.
Okay, so I'm coming up with the things that I think Carl's good at, right?
You're going to come up. And the main thing is, what would you say are a cluster, not even just two, but a handful of Carl's greatest competencies, core competencies, or signature strengths that you see exhibited on a regular basis under all circumstances that are his probably highest and best consistently manifest signature strengths?
I know the weakness is consistency, so we can convert that at the end.
I think.
Oh, no, you have many other weaknesses than that.
There are far more.
Yeah, you have to go to your parents for that one.
All right. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Okay. So I think Carl, some of Carl's strengths are that he's a forever learner. I think you're constantly looking for new information to take in. I think that you are incredibly creative. I think you have a very entrepreneurial mind. I also want to say too, Carl, Carl is probably one of the only people I know. You've got such an interesting blend where, like, if you meet Carl for the first time, it's a bit of a feeling of like, hi, I'm Carl. So it's a little intimidating. I want to say, like, when the first time I met Carl, when I first moved here, and it was like, Mercedes, don't park in front of the mailbox, you know? And I was like, okay, Carl, you know, like he just has like a certain presence about him. That's like a very strong male. I feel like an alpha type of a feel. But with that said, now that I actually know Carl, Carl is one of the most sincere, genuine, like truly concerned about other people, will seek out almost like the outsider to bring them in. He does that, I think, quite a bit. And so, yeah, so I mean, those are some of the things that I just see outwardly observing Carl of like, wow, like he's, you, like if there was ever an emergency, like you would be there. I feel like if there was like if I was in jail, I feel like if I called Carl, he's going to show up. You know, I like, I have that feeling about Carl.
They know me there.
Do they? And I think also, you know, prophetically with Carl, and I've said this a few times, that I believe he's got such a signature message that has to do with like heroes, the anti-hero, villains, like a whole identity message for other people that's wrapped up in, you know, it's almost like a, like the superhero in you type of a thing, and really understanding how you've been made. So I see those types of things in Carl. I'm trying to think of other really great things I like about Carl. I think you've got a real, and I said that earlier, but I think you have a real strong leadership gifting. I think that I've seen you lead people well when we have events and things like that, that you excel at things like that. And you're very concerned about, like, it's an interesting vibe because Carl gives off a vibe of like, I don't really care, but he really does. And so, and he has like a high certainty need too. So like if I ever am like delegating to you and I'm like, hey, Carl, I need you to do this. Carl will have like 6 questions. I'm like, but okay, is it like this or is it like that? Cause he doesn't want to, he wants to ensure he does it correctly and gets everything done correctly. So, and doesn't like misstep. So I would say those, like off the top of my head, those are some things about Carl. How, now you have to do the fancy ninja jujitsu wordsmithing here and turn that into like some amazing thing about Carl. Cause that's how my I am statement would read, but now I'm a supernatural pathfinder. So I'm excited to see what Lance
is. Before he does, I really sincerely appreciate that. Aww. Thank you very much.
Yeah. See, words of affirmation.
Yeah.
Yay. Carl's like, you do like me.
No, you just got on camera.
When Carl was young and Lance were young, we had the prophets come by the church. Chuck Flynn was one of my favorite prophets. He's a great prophet. He prophesied. He helped to really launch Full Gospel Businessman with Dima Shikarian and the National Prayer Breakfast he played a role in. And he, Carl was about maybe 3 or 4. It was really funny. And Lance was probably going to be about 6 then.
About.
And he had a word accurate for both of them. And Carl, he picked Carl up in his arms. I always thought about Jesus taking the children up in his arm and blessing them. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, how would a prophet bless? Well, a prophet blesses by speaking the decree over the child. Mm-hmm. And he had a probably a paragraph for Lance, which had to do with then having songs in the night. You will basically have to do with dealing with the contradictions and the pain of life, but coming up with a triumphant song. Mm-hmm. And Carl was held in his, he was kind of a big corpulent prophet, a big belly. Mm-hmm. And Carl had a dinosaur. And I remember Carl was marching the dinosaur across his stomach while he prophesied, completely oblivious to the fact that you're in a prophetic moment. All the mothers, it's like a Jewish thing. All the mothers with their children were around listening to all the other mothers' children. Annabelle was there, but I was a pastor, so I held the microphone, so mm-hmm. I heard it. Carl's marching the dinosaur along his stomach, and Chuck Flynn said, "And you, having been with Jesus, you shall have command of others." Hmm. Which tells me that Carl in his journey, which is his spiritual journey, as he moves into his own revelation of Jesus and the call of God, the essence of it is the command of others. So what you sense is in all of those words that you chose, there is the leadership, the passion, the heart, and the presence, hmm. and the ability to teach or instruct, but that's also the command. And so it's the leadership gift of Jesus to have command of others. As he gets into, in a sense, submission to the call of Jesus, he's going to have a supernatural command over others. And he could do that. I've been with him in Australia where I'm doing a whole program. And I'm talking away and talking away. And I say to Carl, I'm just a young kid back then. I said, Carl, you got anything you want to say? And he gets up and he goes, Ozzy, Ozzy, Ozzy. And they all go, the whole room erupted. I didn't even know what the heck he did. Like, what's the saying? And
Ozzy, 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 oi, oi, oi. Ozzy, 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 oi, oi, oi. Ozzy, oi, Ozzy, oi. Ozzy, 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 oi, oi, oi.
He took over the whole room, and it was like a rugby match erupted.
Everyone's
on their feet screaming. And I'm going, that's the command of others. It's a command anointing.
You walk off stage and you go, how'd you do that?
I did. I don't know how he did it. I said, what did you just do? I mean, I'm the guy that's supposed to be the master of stages, and my son just like upstaged me. I don't even know what he did. I was yelling. But the words that I have here that are important is Carl's strength of command is he leads from the heart. Mm. That one of the things that I love about my son is as rough and as gruff as he may appear to be, that... And he is a hairy man like Elijah, you know. He's got the beard and everything. He's had it for years.
A wild man.
Like, oh, yeah. Remember Michael Babin? My friend Michael Babin, who's friends with Kim Clement. He traveled with him 6 foot, like 6 foot nine. He used to be a basketball player, Bishop Babin. He comes up, and Carl's sitting next to me at Cheyenne's out in Pasadena. And we're at a fire pit. And Michael Babin comes up, and he sits down next to me, and he stares at Carl. He looks at me, goes, who is this wild man? I go, what? He goes,
it had been a few years since he had seen me.
Lance, he's a wild man. So I was laughing. So, but the thing about Carl is he can, with the command of others, he comes from the heart. And when he talks about someone or something that he cares about, his tears are almost uncontrollable. And that speaks of someone who comes at life from the heart. And it's a powerful attribute to have strong men that can cry is what Jesus is. You have the ultimate strength weeping as he goes into Jerusalem. It's a powerful man. It's a very secure man. And it's someone who has a deep, uncluttered intuition about what is morally good and what is right. But what makes Carl unique is that he makes room for even the most untidy person to feel as though they could pull up next to him at a bar and have a beer, and they would not for a moment feel as though that there was a pious judgment of them. So it's an evangelist anointing, because he could literally be with any sinner. He could reach people that I will never reach. And I'm so glad that he is going in the direction he's going in, because I was telling you today about Sam Kennison. When I was up in New York in the 1990s and the 80s, a guy exploded on the scene, a former Pentecostal preacher kid whose brother was a preacher with him. And Sam Kennison had like an accident, and he came out and suddenly became a raging nightclub comedian. But he was really foul-mouthed and a super party animal. But he erupted on the scene with such raw energy that Sam Kennison became synonymous with the phenomena of comedy. And it was a big risk to put him on a stage, because you didn't know.
Because
you never knew what he was going to say or what he was going to do. But he had certain albums and routines. Mm-hmm. But he had to go to rehab because of an addiction personality. But he was always at the root, the Pentecostal kid who just went wrong, but who never lost his relationship with God. And my concern for Carl used to be that he has such gifting that I didn't want it to get taken over by opportunity. I wanted to make sure that God could restrain it so that you could run the long race and be the person God called you to be. A force to be reckoned with is language that is true for you, that you have command of others with raw power that comes from the heart. There's a courage and a passion about you, but you are capable of incisive observation, of specificity in detail, and of accuracy in instruction that makes you a super coach for the clients that are willing to work with you. Because you care so deeply about people and you're so committed to them that you're like a super coach. Because when you put that prophetic acumen and dial it in on just what they need, there's no length to which you won't go to see a breakthrough happen for that client if they trust you. Mm-hmm. Because of your loyalty. You've got a fierce loyalty about you is another word I'd say. And all that would be lost except to point out that he has a scintillating wit and a powerful sense of humor, which is why that Sam Kennison thing was in my mind. Like, he has the capability of finding the funny in ways that are unconventional and courageous. I regret that we got rid of our hot tub, because he was going to do a whole segment
In hot water.
And he was going to wear a tuxedo in the hot tub in the backyard and interview people from the hot tub. And I don't know if you wanted them with you in the hot tub.
Ideally, yeah. I'm not just alone in a hot tub. Yeah.
And we may do it. I mean, we probably have to trademark it because somebody would take this. But Carl's idea was, imagine, it's coming to me like here I am, like the Pentecostal United in Purpose Seven Mountains guy working with like the Trump team. And my son goes, "Hey, I got an idea, Dad. I want to get in the hot tub with a tuxedo and I want to do interviews with people on achievement and I want to call it In Hot Water with Carl Wolnow."
Yeah.
I said, I went home, I said, "How do I tell my son it's a great idea, but I just don't know how the brand is going to fit in what I'm doing right now?"
It's a bit conflicting, yeah.
But does that give you an idea of what I'm talking about?
No, I think it's good. Honestly, I asked because I want people to know what it's supposed to sound like. Like when you go ask somebody, this is what it should lead you to. And so like, so the people that Carl would be reaching, you know, I liked what you said. It's like that he reaches the unreachable, you know, because it sounds like the formula is who you are. So I'm a supernatural pathfinder. What I do, I order and align people with their destiny, and then who I'm doing it for is people, maybe potentially even church people, but I think it's mainly all people.
I think it is, but for you,
I got to refine it more.
Yeah.
Well, it's in my notepad.
And here's the secret.
Carl and I.
Lots of notes.
Start to list who it is that comes to you for help.
Okay. Yeah, that helps.
Because what happens prophetically is you can get out of season. So I could say, you know, nations, or I could say leaders, but that would have not been true 10 years ago when I first got those words, because 10 years ago it was business leaders. Mm-hmm. And it was Christian ministries. Mm-hmm. That I provide, you know, incisive insight and blueprints for the, you know, for the manifestation of callings and destinies in Christian leaders and businessmen, but it's expanded since then. Mm-hmm. So you have to look at who's coming to you now for help, because that tells you who your present audience is. And remember, people, you want to go to lesson seven. People, go to lesson seven, part two of the video, because we have a video. I have a whole hour and a half training in this manual, which is me and Lake Tahoe taking people up on the platform.
And we were seeking clarity and refining and lesson seven.
Lesson seven. Was that a natural segue? I just want to let you know we have the train. If this didn't help you, we have an hour of me explaining it properly with PowerPoints and people on the platform getting processed into clarity. But I want to give you one before we close off this 51-minute broadcast. God gives us an I am statement for the Apostle Paul. Now, I want you to hear if the elements of what we talked about are not in here. Who you're called to reach, what your greatest constraint is, and what your unique talent and ability is. And it's going to come from Acts chapter 26. And I'm going to read it to you, what Jesus says in verse 16. This is your purpose statement. And literally, Jesus says, "Get up and stand on your feet for this purpose. I have appointed you." You hear that? "I am a man sent from God. I have appointed you. I've sent you as a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also the things to which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you." So here you go. Jesus is telling him who the people groups are. It's going to be the Jews, and it's going to be Gentiles. And then the Lord's even saying rescue operations will be involved, meaning it's going to be controversial. "And I'm sending you with this ability." Here's your signature strength. You're going to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the power of God. You have the power and the gift of opening eyes to see and perceive, all the way to the point where they'll break off their affiliation with Satan and with darkness, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are set apart by faith in me. Paul never forgot the words. He recited them word for word when he was at a court trial. basically saying, hey, man, all I could tell you is this is my assignment. I'm sent to people like you, talking to kings right there, to open your eyes, to turn you from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, so that you could have forgiveness of sins. And there is an inheritance that God has for you in serving him. And it's not just you, it's you and the others that are called to work with you. And then he makes this statement. So, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. Woo, powerful words, because your purpose statement, if it's really got the right juice in it, should challenge you to be obedient when you're being disobedient. Mm-hmm. It should summon you to something that actually makes you pay a price to become what you're called, which is why I love the fact that Paul didn't use the language, I have fulfilled or I am living my passion, which is language I use. He said, I wasn't disobedient, meaning I have to obey that summons.
And yeah, it's like a call to attention.
Huh?
It's like a call to attention in the military.
Yeah, you're right. It is. So I wanted to share that with you because what we're talking about isn't something that's extra biblical. It's right down to Paul said, hey, man, I'm on trial now. You know why? Because of my purpose. And my purpose, I'm not disobeying. I'm doing it right now. And that's what a great purpose statement does. It works under pressure to let you know you're on the right track. So you want to get a hold of this material, we're going to do some more. We're going to send us in your I Am statements. I'd love to read your I Am statements and hear what they are. You want to go to Becoming Unstoppable, discover the agreements that shape your identity. And one of those agreements is, who are you? Who are you called to reach? What are you called to do? And what is the one constraint you've got or the one challenge you've got which you're going to have to overcome? And you ask me, well, where was that in Paul's statement here? I suggest to you that when the Lord said rescuing you from the Jewish people and Gentiles, more than once, Paul had to deal with, why would I keep on doing this? All I do is get beat. But it's because the Lord promised him, I'm going to rescue you. You're still alive, aren't you? You're still healthy, aren't you? You're in the next city, aren't you? I'm rescuing you. I'm going to keep delivering you. And so it's the promise that opposition would be overcome.
It also may have been the disobedience. You know, maybe that was the mind is willing, but the flesh is weak. I have not been disobedient. And maybe that was his counterpoint to the flesh being weak, potentially.
Yeah, I like that.
I just wanted to say, too, you can go to level10living.com to get this. And then if you put in the word podcast, you can get, I think it's 20% off. So don't miss it.
Highway robbery.
Yeah. That's right. You put in the word podcast and you get 20% off. And I encourage you to go and do that. And we'll be back again with our next installment of the power of identity, the power of a calling, and how you can fulfill it. Because I'll tell you something. When you're fulfilling this call, no matter what goes on around you, in the world around you, you're in the epicenter of where God's called you to go. See you next week.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.